Superman can run faster than a bullet travels. He can lift an ocean liner out of the water. And he can even stop a train with his bare hands.
Can he open a Pullman window?
That was Superman co-creator Jerry Siegel in 1940. Arriving on the heels of pulp figures such as The Shadow or The Spider, Superman wasn't the first comic book hero to capture the public's imagination. But let's say he was the first to leap off the page into multimedia stardom. And every time he conquered another medium, he gained dimension and depth.
You know, at the time, radio was the big thing. I mean, it was the dominant form of popular entertainment.
Anthony Tallon is a radio historian, and he's also a former DC Comics color artist.
They set out in 1939 to get a Superman radio show on the airwaves.
Look, up in the sky!
It's a bird. It's a plane.
It's Superman!
They ran into opposition initially because of the number of espionage stories in their early scripts. Also the level of action and violence. They started taking on themes of religious and racial intolerance, which had never been, you know, featured on kids' radio shows, really.
DC Comics hired Bud Collier to voice the Man of Steel.
Collier had begun his radio career as a singer and could sing as both a tenor and as a baritone. And basically, he played Clark Kent as a tenor and would drop his voice an octave as Superman.
There, I'm around the bend now. Lois can't see me.
This is one job I'm going to tackle in full Superman costume.
On the radio, you couldn't see Superman fly or watch him beat up the bad guys. So the radio producers expanded Clark Kent's world at the Daily Planet, adding the characters of newspaper editor Perry White and young reporter Jimmy Olsen. The radio show also embellished Superman's physical strengths and weaknesses.
Kryptonite appeared in Superman radio storylines for 7 years before it moved into the comic books. Superman started to fly on the radio show, and up till then he just jumped, you know, an eighth of a mile or so in the comic books.
Up, up, and away!
During its run, the show had nearly 5 million listeners. This could not be ignored.
Hollywood was also interested, but how do you take a character who can fly or could see through walls or, you know, have this incredible strength with this kind of a costume?
Animation historian Jerry Beck.
How do you make a movie of that, about that? That was beyond Hollywood at that time.
But it wasn't beyond the realm of cartoons. The prestigious film studio Paramount Pictures bought the rights to Superman. They hitched it to a huge production budget and gave the project to the Max Fleischer Animation Studios.
Faster than a speeding bullet. More powerful than a locomotive. Able to leap tall buildings at a single bound.
For the first time, audiences witnessed Superman's ability to fly, his incredible strength and his miraculous speed.
Well, listen to this warning. He plans to strike tonight.
A mad scientist is threatening Metropolis with an electrothunasia ray, as they say in the cartoon, but it's some kind of a ray gun. I mean, it's really not much of a plot, but it's just visually spectacular. There's hardly any dialogue in the cartoon.
The next time people would see Superman was in the flesh. Columbia Pictures produced some live-action serials in 1948 and 1950, starring Kirk Allen. But Superman's next big break came in 1952, when The Adventures of Superman debuted on primetime TV. And TV did what it always does. Suddenly, Superman was in our living rooms, accessible to every kid with comic-stained fingers. Clark Kent was real. We thought of him as a friend. He even told us which cereal to have for breakfast.
Frosted Flakes are sure good. Try a box right away. Tell him, Tony.
Great!
The TV show was smart and snappy, sometimes a bit dark. It followed Clark and Lois Lane on their sleuthing adventures. George Reeves played the hero as a warm, sophisticated guy.
I think I'll drive out to the well.
What for?
Oh, nothing. Look around, maybe talk to the watchman.
Good idea. I'll go with you.
Now, Lois, what do you possibly expect to find out there this time of night?
What do you expect to find, Mr. Kent?
All right. Come along.
To work with him was terrific because he was always full of fun, was a very accomplished actor and leading man. I knew exactly what he was doing as Clark Kent and as Superman.
Jack Larson played Jimmy Olsen.
and enjoyed doing the stunts, and he did almost all the stunts himself, and loved going through the walls. Put him in a very bad mood if the walls just melted when he hit them. He liked them to pop out towards the camera, and Jimmy would say, "Golly, Superman, I never thought you'd get here in time."
Jim, a word of advice. After this, keep out of other people's safes.
You bet.
It had never been done as a musical, and therefore we had the first opportunity of satirizing.
Composer Charles Strauss. He and his collaborators brought Superman to the Broadway stage. The 1966 production was called It's a Bird, It's a Plane, It's Superman. Bob Holliday played the lead role. With the character now translated as a musical, Superman had to sing songs about his internal life because, well, that's what you do in musicals. Now we could see the vulnerable side of the Man of Steel.
Why must the strongest man in the world be the saddest man? Tell me why. Don't they know?
Got wonderful notices, and it should have been running still, but something happened, and what happened was Batman came on television, which was just an out-and-out hoot. We got killed by Cape Lash.
But the musical sensitivity to the hero's inner feelings didn't die with it. The guys who wrote the book for the musical, Robert Benton and David Newman, went on to do the screenplay for the 1978 film starring Christopher Reeve.
Can I take you to the airport?
Not unless you can fly.
This version of Superman had it all. The sci-fi mythos, the bustling big city newspaper, the evil madman, the love triangle involving Lois Lane, the in-your-face action, and the psychological depth.
Sorry.
Thank you.
Hey, Lois, maybe we can...
Since that film came out, the comic books have married Superman off to Lois Lane, had him killed in a battle with an arch-villain, and then resurrected him a couple of different ways. TV's Lois and Clark showed us Superman's romantic side, and Smallville has jump-started a new saga of his teen years. But Christopher Reeve may stick in our minds as the definitive Superman, getting his necktie caught indoors as Clark Kent, or soaring high over Metropolis towards the horizon.
Bye!
For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Gonzalez.